Hi, I'm James Arnold, and I'm co-global head of strategic insights and advisory in global banking at UBS. The purpose of this series of podcasts is to talk to colleagues within global banking about some of the biggest topics impacting financial markets. Today, I'm joined by Marco Valla, who is the co-head of global banking at UBS, based in New York. Thank you, Marco, for taking the time to talk to us. I think a great place to start is to understand the importance of the US market for a global banking business, and then the scale of the opportunity that UBS now has in the US post the deal with Credit Suisse.
Sounds great, James, and thanks for doing this and taking the time. The US market represents about 55 to 60% of the banking wallet. So it's a must-win market for us and any of our competitors. UBS historically has been a little bit subscale in this market. And so with the Credit Suisse transaction, we now have the opportunity to really become a leading player in this market, complementing what's already a very strong presence in both EMEA and APAC. And we've done that, you know, quite meaningfully, I would say, over the last several months. So if you look at our headcount, for example, in the Americas, it's up approximately 65% from legacy UBS. A lot of that growth has been in key areas of focus for us, like tech coverage and healthcare coverage. So really exciting to see the increased footprint in areas of meaningful growth. We've also taken on a very meaningful loan book from Credit Suisse. And so, again, the amount of capital that we're dedicating to this region is certainly a lot more than what it's been historically. So we have the resources in place now and the talent in place to make sure that we go after this market in a meaningful way.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that, Marco. You obviously joined UBS broadly in the middle of last year. It'd be great to get some personal reflections on what you've discovered. And importantly, I think, where do you think that UBS Global Banking is most differentiated versus its competition?
It's been a wonderful experience, and it's really been great to see the client receptivity to UBS and our strategy and what we're becoming as a business. I think the UBS brand is incredibly strong, well-respected, and well-recognized around the globe. So that's been a really big positive and something I'm very proud of. And then when I look at what differentiates us and what really makes us unique, I would say a couple of things, James, that are quite interesting. First of all, the global footprint of the investment banking business here at UBS is extraordinary. Again, we've just talked about how we're building out the US and how we'll have a more meaningful presence in the US going forward. But when you look at the presence that we already have outside of the US, it's really extraordinary, both in EMEA, which is obviously a meaningful market for us, in APAC, where we have a leading market position. So we're effectively already top three in APAC. Our objective is to be top five in EMEA. And as we've talked about publicly as well, we're looking to be a number six player here in the Americas. So there's great strength already outside of the Americas, and it's exciting to be able to leverage that for the benefit of our clients as we talk about cross-border opportunities and just global trends. The second thing I would say, when you look outside of banking at other parts of the investment bank, such as our markets business or the research footprint, again, those are highly developed, really well-respected businesses. So it's great to be able to leverage that as we grow our banking footprint. And then last but certainly not least, the wealth management part of UBS, as everybody knows, is truly market leading. It's just an extraordinary business for us. And that's an important business that's relevant for our banking clients as well. So again, closer collaboration with wealth and leveraging all that the wealth business brings to the table, also for the benefit of our banking clients, I think is a real differentiator.
So let's try and join those two bits together, so scale of the platform and the differentiated offer, and cast our minds out into 2024. So where do you think the biggest opportunities for the UBS business in the US are as we head into the new year?
I would say our main priorities in the US are centered around three key points. One, financial sponsors. That's a very meaningful piece of the overall banking wallet. We intend for that business to represent about 40% of our revenue. So it's a very meaningful priority for us. And we've made very good progress already in making sure that we're leaning in for our sponsor clients when it comes to buy side opportunities, when it comes to making sure we're allocating capital appropriately for that client base. but also working closely with those clients when it comes to their exits, whether it be a sell side or an IPO. So that's a very important client base for us where we're going to be spending a lot more time going forward. Secondly, I would say is corporate M&A. We've seen certainly a pickup in the M&A backlog across the street. In our case specifically, we're starting to sign up many more strategic corporate M&A mandates. And that's an area where we see ourselves continuing to grow and focus. So a lot more M&A, I would say, in this market relative to what UBS has done historically. And then thirdly is ECM. Again, I've talked about our markets footprint, our research footprint, our wealth distribution capabilities. We have a lot of components that should allow us to be a true leader in the ECM product. And so that's a big area of focus for us as we look to grow our ECM capabilities. We did just recently hire a new co-global head of ECM. He'll be joining shortly. And there's a lot of momentum, I would say, around that business and how we're looking to elevate the quality of our ECM franchise going forward. So those are the near-term priorities. Obviously, they're all important buckets as we think about how to best grow our business. And I'm excited that we have, I think, the right strategy and the right team to execute on those priorities.
And perhaps a bit of a challenge to that. There's plenty of commentary from market participants that 2024 is going to see a very big regime shift. I guess in really simple terms, a change from a period of low inflation and sort of ever lower interest rates to one where the cost of capital and valuation matters again. So do you think that regime shift presents any incremental challenges or opportunities to that strategy you laid out?
It will definitely, in our view, remain a somewhat volatile environment. But I would say overall, it's a very constructive environment and one that's becoming more constructive with time. You can see, obviously, the global equity markets are near all-time highs. The VIX has come down meaningfully. So the backdrop, for example, for the IPO asset class to come back is much more constructive now than what it's been over the last couple of years. So I think when you net out all those factors, James, we should be able to see an opening of the IPO markets in 24. And obviously, there's a lot of pent up supply that's waiting to go, hopefully, as the markets open. M&A, I touched a little bit on how we're focused on M&A. You're starting to see a lot more M&A in our pipeline. Deals are definitely taking a bit longer to get to the finish line, but I would say CEOs are increasingly more confident, and I think they're feeling a little bit more empowered, I would say, to pursue strategic combinations relative to maybe what has been the case over the last couple of years. There's still a lot of capital on the sidelines. I've talked about sponsors. Again, the amount of capital that they have to deploy is extraordinary. And so there should be a fair amount of deal activity as that picks up again. And again, sponsors have been sitting on some very high quality assets that they're looking to monetize. So as the M&A market comes back, as the IPO market comes back, I think we'll see increased activity on the exit front. So definitely still a somewhat volatile time. Some weeks are better than others, but overall, I would say the tone is improving meaningfully, and we're quite bullish around 24 and hopefully be able to convert much of our pipeline.
Marco, many thanks for that. That was absolutely fascinating, and we'll definitely get you back onto the podcast to update us on that progress within the US business in 12 months' time. And I guess a final thank you to all of you that listen to this podcast.